deer and the antelope play. Hello, dear friends. This is John Charles Thomas. Well, here we are again with another half hour of song, story, and music for you men and women in the armed forces of the United Nations. For story, we have John Nesbitt, one of America's best. For music, there's Victor Young in the orchestra. And for song, the Ken Darby Chorus and myself. And now, Vic, with the preliminaries over, let's get started. I'm dreaming of a white Christmas. I'm dreaming of a white Christmas, just like the ones I used to know. Where the treetops glisten and children listen to hear sleigh bells in the snow. I'm dreaming of a white Christmas. With every Christmas card I write, may your days be merry and bright, and may all your Christmases be white. I'm dreaming of a white Christmas, just like the ones I used to know, where the treetops glisten and children listen to hear sleigh bells in the snow. I'm dreaming of a white Christmas, with every Christmas card I write, may your days be merry and bright, and may all your Christmases be as I live. The successful operetta Song of Norway popularized another of Grieg's melodies under the title Strange Music. I'd like to sing it for you. Now, with his passing parade story for today, John Nesbitt.
News item was printed reporting that work was underway again to attempt to finish the 200-inch telescope at Mount Palomar, California. And it certainly wasn't worth a headline, and yet around the globe itself, that item made the eyes of wise old men shine like those of boys. And yet what is so wonderful about a giant telescope, the one that we've been hearing about for almost a generation now, and why should it be international news? Well, it's a mirror that has to be 200 inches wide, which is about 17 feet, and we can really build things of glass that large. But this one had to be cut more accurately than if it were a 17-foot diamond, for reflected on its surface, we will be able to see other systems of worlds so far away from us that the glow, the light of them, began to travel toward us a billion years ago. Some of these unknown stars may actually have exploded a million years ago, and yet the flash of light from that explosion, made when a whole world blows up like an atom bomb, will not reach us for ages to come. A world dying long ago, and yet we watching it all happening today. And so we've spent fortunes and men devoted their lives just to get a mirror 17 feet wide. It all began when Andrew Carnegie helped a young man named Ellery Hale to build a 60-inch mirror-type telescope. But before many years, the young man took a breath and then made an overwhelming request. He now wanted a mirror 200 inches in size. There was a stunned silence. And then the Rockefeller Foundation came forward with a gift $6 million just for that mirror and equipment. Another year and a half goes by. $1,000 a day is spent in trying to melt quartz for the mirror. And for that purpose, it is utter failure. Hale is now growing old. And then someone suggests the familiar glass that we see pie plates made from. And its manufacturers say that they will make the attempt. And engineers still talk of that work as if it were the winning of a battle. And indeed, so it was. The glass plate had to be 2.5 feet thick and yet larger than most living rooms. And when they'd figured out several thousand problems in that connection, they then found that it would take 9 years just for the melted glass to cool. And so they had to stop and invent machinery to cool it in 1 year. And all of this time, the headlines of Europe were filled with the screaming news of rising dictators and rattling swords. But quietly, these men worked on. Special railroads to carry the mold around. And the years went on. When the actual melting began, the town of Corning filled with visitors from everywhere on Earth. A grandstand was built for scientists to watch the pouring. And on Sunday, March the 25th in 1934, the pouring of the glass began. Hour after hour passing, streams of tourists going by, newsreel cameras turning. And then a man calls, "Stop!" Something had gone wrong. Metal parts of the mold had broken off and were floating in the liquid glass. Again, failure. That December, they tried again. And this time, the pouring at least worked. And for the 10 months, the vast lump lay there growing cool. Just as everyone relaxed, a midsummer flood broke loose and the waters of a river began rising nearby. Water began to ooze into the basement. If it stopped the cooling equipment, disaster might come again. And at all quarters of the factory, carpenters and masons and machinists dropped what they were doing and ran with sandbags to fight the flood. Still, the water rose. And then, as the men stood up to their armpits in mud, the power went off. 72 hours before electricity could go back to doing its work. And not for 3 months could anyone make certain what harm had been done. They had to wait. When the enormous glass disc was at last brought out, they saw. And what they saw was victory, for it had not been harmed by the interruption. And then, as you'll remember from the movies, special trains carried the disc across the nation. And more years passed in California while countless experts polished away. But then the dictators won the race. The war, of course, stopped everything. When you're busy fighting to keep hands from your throat, you don't have time to look up at the stars. But now they are back. And so now, high up on its California mountain, there it stands, a mirror and a telescope. The millions of dollars spent and the uncounted hours of labor growing toward a close at last. And there it is. The biggest and most powerful eye that ever stared curiously off into space. The astronomers don't know exactly how much private glory it'll bring them, and they don't particularly care. They just want to learn and make certain, and that's enough for them. And I'm going to go driving down the coast some fine day and ask them to let me see that giant telescope. I won't understand it at all, but I want to gaze up at it and say to myself, here's something good. Everywhere on this earth, men are waiting and watching this with pride, knowing that in distant America, we once more are joining in a struggle that's above war. We're simply following the white star of knowledge and climbing up the endless trail wherever it may lead.
I'm now going to sing a selection from the Verdi opera, Don Carlos. It's the aria, Per me giunto.
Carlo, uscir tu dei da questo rendo aperto. Felice ancor io son se bracciarti possio, io ti salvo. Un vien qui dirci, un vien qui dirci addio.
Next song concerns the theme that is ever new, the sweetest story ever told. Day by day, on
dearest dancer true. Hold me close as you were wont to do. Whisper once again the story old, the dearest, sweetest story ever told. Whisper once again the story old, the dearest, sweetest story ever told. Tell me that you love me. Tell me softly, sweetly, as of old. Tell me that you love me, for that's the sweetest story ever told. Tell me, do you love me? Whisper softly, sweetly, as of old. Tell me that you love me.
Back in the days of vaudeville, there was a certain waltz that was well dog-eared in the books of every orchestra pit. It was a good waltz to start with, or it would never have achieved such popularity. The Skater's Waltz.
Thank you.
friends, we've sung our last song until our next visit with you 1 week from now. You know, Vic and Ken and I especially enjoy getting letters from you servicemen and women, and if you have a song or musical selection you would like to hear, just drop us a line. We'll do our best to oblige. Address your letters to Armed Forces Radio, Los Angeles, USA. So until next week at this same time, this is John Charles Thomas saying goodbye and God bless.
Gene Whitman speaking. This rebroadcast of the John Charles Thomas Show has been a presentation of the Armed Forces Radio Service.